Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
I was gonna tease you, but then I thought I'd leave.
I was gonna tease you. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape can get you pretty much anything you want when it comes to John Deere. Big ag, small ag, turf, they do it all. Give them a call at 226-9226. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! I was going to be the musical background. But I kind of figured
I'd
get in trouble for that one.
Yeah.
So let's see. I thought free advertisement of the day should be We Move It.
We Move It?
Yeah. Yeah, because we did move it, but thank God we had help from We Move It.
Yeah, no fooling. But glad that's over with.
Because we thought, oh, how hard could it be? Just a few miles. We'll just do a lot of it ourselves. Oh, my God. Yeah. So Jeff over at We Move It, he's moved us a few times. We've been serial movers. We're going to stop doing that now, though. God, we better stop doing that.
Oh, that was, yeah. I don't have any more of those left in me.
No, we decided that was probably the last one. Anyway, you can find them if you live in, I don't know how far they go, but if you live in the Reading area, the number is 530-941-6658. And honestly, those guys have moved us, I hate to admit it, but what, four times in the last, like, 12 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, this bed's really heavy. Oh, I remember this table. Yeah, this one's really heavy. It's like, oh.
Yeah, when they get out of the truck and say, hey, my favorite customers. That's not good when they're a mover.
It's bad.
Yeah.
They're great, though. They'll help you with whatever, you know, whatever amount you need. So we thought we'd have them do all the big stuff. That was stupid because I have about a billion books. And they had to go downstairs.
Yeah.
So after they moved half a billion books downstairs, we discovered the other half a billion was in the garage that we had brought there ourselves. So we had to schlep them down the stairs. That was the dumbest thing we did. Well, then my phone got run over and I lost the house key. And
yeah, we were running on fumes.
Being tired turned out to be really hard. So that's why we were absent a lot of the first part of October. We were just too tired to come here and talk to all of you. But again, I'm going to give their number. It's 530-941-6658. And Jeff Thompson and his guys can move whatever. They even moved a safe, a giant safe. And they've moved that a couple times, too. They were like, oh, good, you still have it. Yeah, we do.
So. Yeah, they were drilled, hauling a safe upstairs.
It was just a few stairs.
Yeah.
Thank goodness they had me. I was the wild card. I helped them push it up the thing. Anyway, what a deal. But if you do have to move, do that. And label your boxes. We've gotten pretty good at labeling the boxes. That helps a lot. Let's see. We're off to China. Yay. And oddly enough, we have a new neighbor named Chen, but it's not Dr. Chen.
No.
So in the scope of all things, maybe they're somehow related. We haven't talked to Dr. Chen for a while. There's been a lot going on with China. And I don't know, our emails were crossing in the chaos. And we finally have caught up with him. And he was, I said, so, you know, what do you think we'll talk about today? And he said, how about the CCP's 20th Congress? And I thought, oh, good, another thing I missed during the move. So he will be... He will be our guest this morning. He's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations including concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize and support activities during the 1980 Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre, and he founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation. He served on the board of the president, the board of the Press Freedom Guardian, and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. He he has an extensive bio, lots of history. I'm going to skip to the bottom to see what he's doing now. And he was born in China in 1962, and at 15 he entered the gifted program at the China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and receive his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. And
I think that's where I met him, was in my molecular biology class.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank goodness we're not talking to him about that. That'd be a short conversation. Oh, Dr. Chen, how have you been? We haven't seen you since, well, good grief, May. May, can you believe that? It's crazy.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. And there's been a lot happening, yeah. And we know you've been watching it, so I didn't attach any articles or anything. I thought we would just go wherever you would like to take us today.
Yeah. So, first of all, congratulations. I just heard that you moved.
Hey, yeah.
And that's going to be your last move, and that's good.
Yeah, we discovered how old we are. We were way older than we thought.
Our bodies are much older than our minds.
Somebody sent me a meme. It was a picture of somebody with a big blanket like over their whole body. It looked like a Band-Aid. And it said, you know, people over 50, just put this where it hurts. And I was like, why did that not come in the moving van? Yeah, it's a young person's sport for sure. So,
Yeah,
we don't know anything about the Congress, the 20th Congress of the Chinese Communist Party. It kind of sounds like a good thing, but I'm sure it was not.
Well, that has been the number one thing that's related to China since almost like mid-January. Beginning from there, there were a nonstop report on how the current leader of the CCP, Xi Jinping, Xi Jinping came in to the power back in 2013, and in previous few leaders. The one before him is named Hu Jintao. So let's just say Hu, okay, Hu. And then before him, it was Jiang. Jiang came into power in 1989. Over the blood of the Chinese student and citizens who, stage a pro-democracy movement in the spring of 1989. So many people may not remember that far what went on, but I think they still remember the Tank Man, who stood before the column of People's Liberation Army, that's the name of the communist army in China. The man stood in front of a column of tanks, stopping them. Right? So that historical figure people probably still remember, and that was part of the 1989 spring student democracy movement, right? And Jiang became the Chinese leader over those students' blood. They were, at the night of June 4th, 1989, the PLA or CCP's military opened fire on peaceful students and citizens. There's no telling how many people were killed. It was a a professional military opening fire on peaceful people.
And that was not really reported on very heavily, was it?
At that time, surprisingly, it was not reported very much on, but that was still the most coverage in any CCP events in front of the world. That was the, even though that was that for a good 2 months, yeah, around, well, maybe a little over 1 month, the students' hungry strike and their peaceful petition got onto the world news media more than anything else, right?
Well, I remember
more than the COVID.
Oh, sure. And well, I remember June telling us a long time ago, like back in 2018, that was what really set this series of shows on China up with us a long time ago. And she was saying that in China, as a kid, she was told that the students were attacking the military and the military was just defending itself. And,
and just a
few people died. That was the, like, as it were, the party line there. And when she came to the United States, you know, after she realized that we weren't just pretending to be free, which took quite a few years, she decided to start looking things up. And when she looked up Tiananmen Square and saw how many people died and the fact that everything they had told her was completely false, it was a life changer. So I would imagine she's not the only one who was fed that story.
Right. So that story, you know, that tells you how little the real China has ever been exposed to the world. Student attacking the military.
Right.
Sheep all of a sudden must be on steroid or on something, started attacking wolf, right?
Right.
It was. Anyway, so that brought on a change of guard because at that time, before Zhao, there was another leader called Zhao. He's quickly forgotten. Zhao, who there's another Hu Yaobang and Zhao. They were more flexible leaders. And so they pushed something called open reform. So there, it's like Gorbachev in the Soviet Union, right? And so, but that somehow irritated the conservatives in the CCP. And their hardline CCP, caused discontent in the society, and the student and citizens then went on the street to express their, you know, discontent. And the CCP rolled out military tank, well, around military and tanks, suppressed student and, as, you know, part of the consequences, Zhao was sacked, and this leader, Jiang, then was instilled. Okay, so that start our story there, back in 1989, Jiang. Okay, Jiang ruled China from 1989 to you know, officially, he ruled China from 1989 to 2002. Right? And then from 2002 and 2012 is whose turn? They have something called, you know, it's not a real term limit, but it's customary. Right? So who runs two terms, five each, for 10 years until 2012. And then current leader is Xi. So Jiang, Hu, and Xi. So these are the three names that we have to get used to, because this is, you know, needed to understand what's going on in the 20th CCP national meeting, right?
So now, before you launch into that, let's take a real quick break so we don't have to interrupt you when you get started. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chin, and we are ready for our break?
Yeah.
Okay. he had on his game face. I couldn't tell which game face it was. We'll be right back.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
I see nothing wrong. Spreading myself around. Everybody's talking all the stuff about me.
Yeah.
Why don't they just let me in?
Tell me why.
I don't need permission.
I don't need my own decision.
That's my prerogative.
It's my prerogative.
I can do what I want to do.
It's my prerogative.
Can you live my life?
To play the long one, it had some extra stuff in it. It reminded me of I don't know, something the student movement would have liked back then. Should have been their prerogative, but it wasn't. So, all right, the CCP's 20th Congress with our cast of characters.
Right. So now, first thing that is that's interesting about this meeting is that never in my life, I am one that come from a communist country. Right? Yet, even I have never seen the world attention to a communist meeting that has, you know, so much report, so much attention. And that is strange. So when I grew up in China, okay, I have never paid attention to any communist meeting inside China or outside China. I have no idea when the Soviet Union would have their national communist meeting, right, who would be their leader after they come to the United States. I have paid little attention. I don't remember seeing anybody paying much attention to that. If me, from a communist country, doesn't pay enough attention to it, I don't think anybody in a free world would care for that. And yet, this particular communist meeting has attracted world attention, at least in those who observe China, right, they pour all over it, and you see the report comments on it, and that's number one. Number two, I don't ever remember a so-called election or re-election of any communist leader have, you know, attract as much attention. I mean, in this country, in the United States, right, the one communist leader they would care the most would be Castro, Fidel Castro in Cuba. Right? And I don't remember seeing news report on whether he'll be reelected or not hold on to his power. you know. And yet, this current leader, Xi, whether he will be reelected, right, has caused so much attention. And that, to me, in itself, is very strange. Number three, the basic theme of the mainstream media is anti-Xi, or the narrative, right, is one that they oppose Xi, but not oppose the CCP. That is interesting.
Right. And it seems like they missed the point.
And right, and the White House and DOS, Department, the you know, Department of State, as well as National Security Council, right, repeatedly made it public that they do not seek regime change. I said, they don't want China to change communist regime. Yet the mainstream media, right, have been carrying on a narrative that Xi is weak, Xi is losing power, Xi this and Xi that. And up to maybe a month before the meeting, and it started to tone down this anti-Xi narrative. Now, what's surprising is that not only Xi did not lose his power, but significantly boosted his power. And then this is the story that should, you know, warrant some explaining.
Mm-hmm.
And why our media were so far, number one, why are we paying this much attention, right? Number one. Number two, if we pay this much attention, we better get the news right. We got it completely wrong, right? And so I want to share with our listener here, and that this is not an honest mistake. This media hype and this surprising result is not an honest mistake, but an orchestrated coup to save Jiang faction. So then I want to explain why to save the Jiang faction. What does the Jiang faction face? Right? And why Wall Street? Why the elites? Why the mainstream media would jump into that? And, well, number one, Jiang faction has all the connection that they have with our Wall Street, with globalization. And the Jiang, what I call the Jiang faction, not only is the worst enemy to the Chinese people, the worst ever, right? By far, by hundredfold, right? It's the worst enemy of the Chinese people, Chinese culture, but it is also the worst enemy of any foe of the free world, including Hitler, including Stalin, including, you know, whatever, right? And yet, our media, mainstream media, wittingly or unwittingly, maybe unwittingly. In this particular case, they may be manipulated by John Fraction to assist in this coup. Now, first of all, why this John is worst enemy to the free world? I won't get into even Chinese people first yet. I want to get to into why he's the worst enemy of the free world. He was the one that initiated what I called earlier. I've been consistently calling that the generous barbarism strategy of communism against the free world. Now, what is a generous barbarism? The United States and the free world has fought barbarism before. Hitler, Stalin, right? Those represent major threat to the free world. By posing military threat to our way of life, you know, nuclear bomb, etc. So, you know, the NATO, Warsaw Pact, Cold War, all that. Right? Those were the barbaric threat to the free world, to our way of life. All those were conquered by the United States. Hitler, you know, at the end of the World War II, and the Soviet Union at the end of the Cold War. So the United States and the free world stood up to them and actually got strong through those tests. And then the CCP under Jiang came on as a completely different kind of threat, a threat that we still do not recognize. That's the scary part, right? Now, in this country, people start to recognize the CCP threat represented by Xi, okay? That is why they anti-Xi, but they welcome Jiang. That's why they, in their mind, they welcome the comeback of Jiang Fraction. And that's why they do not oppose CCP, but they oppose Xi, because Xi would represent, in their mind, Xi would represent a hardline communism. Right? They do not like this country, at least some people, right? Wall Street. They do not like hardline communism, but they like very much soft communism represented by Zhao.
What would be some of the key differences between those two?
Right, that's what I'm about to get to.
Oh, right. Sorry about that. As you were.
No. You asked the right question. So, remember I mentioned Jiang came onto the power as a result of the 1989 student movement, but the crushing of the June 4th massacre. So the June 4th massacre, for the first time, broadcast how brutal, how barbaric that regime can be, even though it's limited to exposure. Right? But still, let the world to see how barbaric that regime is. Okay, so both inside China and outside China, that regime lost its legitimacy. And then, that is 1989, but that massacre also touched the downfall of a series of communist power. In Romania, right, on the Christmas Day of 1989, Ceausescu was executed Right, so that communist regime fall. And then in 1992, the former Soviet Union broke apart. You know, the 15 republic or you know, former countries of the Soviet Union all declared independence. So basically, that was the end of what we now know as USSR or Soviet Union. So that marks the failure of communism, worldwide communism movement that started from Marxism, from Karl Marx. And so that marks both the formal end of the Cold War, but also supposedly the formal ending, formal failure of communism. Okay? But the CCP survived, and the CCP attracted little attention at that time because the Soviet Union, as a military threat, was the main focus of attention of the free world. The ending, the so-called ending of communism, also brought the failure of communism as a way of governance. So the CCP at that time in 1992 faced a double crisis. Right? First of all, has lost its, legitimacy of governance because the June 4th massacre, and then the whole communist movement has lost its legitimacy in the world. So at that time, CCP was in survival mode. And then the CCP came out and say, well, we do not represent any threat. Not only we will not represent any threat like Soviet Union, we will actually provide benefit to you, to the free world. And the condition is nothing, right? As long as you do not interfere with my internal affair. Okay, that's what they call, okay, the CCP. As long as you do not interfere with my internal affair, then we can get along. Not only we can get along, we have a gigantic market. You can come to do business with our gigantic market. Right? And so that was the generous part.
Okay, hold on. We'll do the barbarism part when we come back.
Okay.
Let's leave it on an up note. The generous part. The, come over here, little girl. I have candy in my car. Just get in. Nothing bad will happen. Yeah, we've seen this before. Oof. We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shezong Chen. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are sad, cotton, some are steel, some are silk, and some are leather. They're the faces of the stranger, but we love to try them on.
Thought that might be a good interlude for the barbarism part.
My goodness, you have a song for everything.
We do.
I am impressed.
That seemed particularly appropriate.
I mean, the other song also, They Move In My Neighbor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that song as well. I'm amazed.
We do our best. I figure since they don't know anything about the topic, I might as well bring some music to the program.
No. Everybody try their best. But you do it.
Okay, you can be our guest every week. Okay, back to the bad news.
Yeah. Fun's
over.
And that actually is the new strategy, new form of evil. I, even myself, okay, my thinking have changed for the past, you know, over the past 10 years, in past year, right? So, the generous barbarism was what I recognized back in 2011, or maybe 2012. Over that time, so I thought that is something new that the world do not see, fail to see. And sure, you know, the economic gain, the upside is so much, right? I mean, that's a vast market that 1.5 billion people.
Oh yeah.
That. Yeah, if we can sell a single item to one-tenth of that population, how much money we can make? I mean, everywhere you think that way.
Sure.
And so this is such a new way of enticement that up till now, with the exception of President Trump, I haven't seen any world leader saw through that and can resist that, even till now. But we probably need to spend another two programs on this, because I just came to realize this year that this was actually another form of Cold War. See, we fought a military Cold War, the free world, not just the United States, right? The free world fought a military Cold War against, you know, the hard communism in the form of the Soviet Union, the military communism. And this generous barbarism, even 10 years ago, I didn't see it that way. I only start to see that this year, that it represent a economic Cold War against this country, except that the military Cold War is so easy to see because it represents a threat immediately. Look, I mean, tank is, you know, is rolling towards you, right? A gun is pointing towards you. I mean, and the message is a surrender or I'll kill. What more can be, you know, we will need to get alert, right? But the economic Cold War is not only unperceptible, but enticing. Just like you said earlier, come on, let it go, right? It's attractive. Yet, we all forgot that communism, at its very basis, is against our value system. yet we look at the money so much that we forgot that beyond money there are value.
Mm-hmm.
And communism is at its very basis against all our value. And so, and we want to, I want to reserve a program for what I call a sub-nation, sub-national invasion. And again, this is in the past 2 years, I start to realize that this country had been subjected to a sub-national invasion without really perceiving it. So let me bring in what I want to talk also first in this program first also. Have you heard, right? Have you heard that the Chinese police have set up, you know, a minimal, right? This is a partial list, right? Has set up 54 police stations in the free world. In the United States, in New York, there's one. In Canada, there are two. There are many more in your countries. So, in this country, except our own police station, there's Chinese police station. Have you heard of anything like that? Do you think this country has more than the U.S. police? Can you imagine a Japanese police station? Can you imagine or German, the Soviet Union police station in this country? Can you?
Yeah, I was reading that article here a few weeks ago, and I was shocked. I had no idea they were allowing. You know, they said they're set up in all different countries, and then they said, "Oh yeah, they're here too. They're in New York and some other big cities," which was shocking.
It was kind of around that time. I couldn't get a hold of you for a while, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, they got him!" I was kind of worried.
There are 54 such stations in over 30 countries.
What the heck? And what's the? Okay, so if you didn't know what was going on, you know, with China and all that, what's the happy explanation for this? Like, what are they telling people? Oh, don't worry about it. Because of why?
I don't think there could be any happy answer.
Okay.
The only answer I can think of is to not let you know about it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Forgot about that one.
Right?
So yeah, there's lying and there's hiding. So if you can just do hiding, that's pretty good. You can lie later.
Right. So... and this is the latest example of what I call subnational invasion. The Chinese communist dictatorship, their way of governance, their way of ruling, has entered in our country without us knowing. So I have done some more research on this subject in the past 2 years, right? And those are the things that in this country people do not recognize they are a way, they are a form of subnational invasion. A subnational invasion is a way of infringement on our way of life without even touching off our national defense.
Yeah, right? They didn't get any opposition. What? How long have these police stations or whatever? How long have they been here?
See, the part is that we have no idea.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right. And so there are other ways of subnational invasion. The so-called friend or sister city. sister city is nothing new in the free world. But, you know, the CCP is the anti-Midas touch, right? Midas finger, anything Midas finger touch turns into gold. Anything the CCP touch turns into hell, right? So the CCP then got involved in the Sister City program and then turned that program as a way of impacting our lives. And our government even assisted. It is because the CCP that under Hillary Clinton, DOS formed a office, a liaison office to, you know, to help, to work with China for this kind of a, you know, sister state, sister city. Okay, in another world, sorry, in another word, a Chinese city, right, is negotiating with a U.S. city on things, cultural, economic, sports, all the things that, you know, working with the U.S. city, bypassing our national, you know, politics. Okay? That's the same as the police station. The police station is bypassing the formal name is called Overseas Service Station. Right? The Overseas Service Station of Chinese police bypassing the diplomatic national level barrier. It worked. They go under. They have circumvented the national front line to impact our life directly. I call that subnational relation. And that is the Communist China is the only country that has achieved that. And they didn't achieve it in one area. Achieved in multiple areas. And I think we need to spend a program talk about this subnational nation. Anyway,
on the police station thing, what would they possibly be? What would their job be? Like, what do they say that their job is, or is that just not being talked about?
I'll tell you, the first job is like what you say. Their first job would be, come on, little girl.
Candy, right? In my car.
Yeah, that's always their first.
Are they supposed to be? Is this like a? Oh, we're here to help.
Well, that's what the universal lie article said, was that they claim they're set up to assist Chinese citizens and dual citizens with information to help them live in a different culture, and so they're right. There just to help. But that's not what the people are saying. They're saying they're being threatened.
If I came here from China, and they had Chinese police stations in my area, I'm just guessing. But that's the last place I'd go.
Well, yeah, you don't want to speak up because they're targeting the dissidents is what they're doing, and they're threatening.
I know, that's
their
why I was really worried. I couldn't get a hold of Dr. Chen. I thought they got him. I was like, oh my god, he's not writing back. I think he still likes us, so that means they got him. Those are the only two choices I came up with.
let's make a pack, okay?
Okay.
If I'm ever in danger, I will call you first.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Well, as long as we have that secret under wraps,
yeah. We'll know to go into full scale search mode.
Oh, all right. People can ponder that. Liam, where are we? Do we have? Is it time? Are we out of time?
Look.
Oh, we're out of time. Hold on. We're not out of time. We're coming back with them next hour, but we're out of time this hour. We'll be right back.
You will feel no pain anymore, no more.
science.